Order. Order.
Responses from party leaders to the Prime Minister's statement wound up with contributions from the two one-man parties. The Progressives' Jim Anderton, who's the MP for the Christchurch electorate of Wigram, took the opportunity to complain about the lack of progress in repairing the damage from the earthquake last September.
Mr Speaker, the headline in the Christchurch press from the weekend on the front page says, "Does this look like the road to recovery?" Well, Mr Speaker, the obvious answer is it does not. And in my electorate office area of Selwyn Village, every single business on the opposite side of the road has left their premises. Nothing has changed or been done since September the 4th. And the only answer we get from our urgent inquiries is that the council is talking to the owner, who I understand lives in Taiwan. And those talks have been going on for 5 months and not one single action has been taken except to cordon off the whole area and every single business is gone.
Jim Anderton was followed by Peter Dunn, who leads the United Future Party from his Wellington seat of Oharu Belmont. He wanted to talk about national unity with reference to Waitangi Day, which he once renamed New Zealand Day.
A country set against itself is one that will not endure, will not survive. New Zealand is proud externally to portray a certain image. But why cannot we start the process as New Zealanders of working with each other, celebrating the cultures and the backgrounds that make this country the unique place it is, putting those on display and sharing them and learning from each other, rather than what we've seen to an extensive and unacceptable degree over the last weekend?
After that, from Peter Dunn, it was back to the Treasury benches and the Government's Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, I am pleased to support the motion moved by the Prime Minister today in support of his statement to the House. Yeah. Mr Speaker, in that statement to the House, the Prime Minister has outlined the programme for the Government that will see us leading into the November election. And what the Prime Minister made very clear is that this is not a government that is prepared to mislead New Zealanders about the difficult economic circumstances that we live in. A government not prepared to mislead New Zealanders about how tough it is at the moment to make progress. A government not prepared to go to New Zealanders with outrageous promises of expenditure without any plan for where that money may come from.
Mr Brownlee left no doubt as to who that government might be.
It is wrong for the Labor Party to even try to convince New Zealanders that they can have their cake and eat it too. We are a government, sir, led by an extraordinary Prime Minister who will be straight up with New Zealanders and, Mr Speaker, will give them a good opportunity to prosper beyond the 26th of November election.
Back across the chamber again, and Gerry Brownlee was followed in the debate on the Prime Minister's statement by Labour's new number four, recently promoted up the opposition's front bench to sit with the party's leaders.
The Honourable David Parker.
It wasn't a great speech by Mr Brownlee, the Leader of the House, but at least it was better than John Key's, because John Key's speech had very, very little substance on the economic plan for this country, because the reality is that John Key's government doesn't have an economic plan for this country. They've only got one policy and it's tax cuts weighted to the rich.
David Parker said the battle lines have been drawn for the election in November.
The theme that we've heard from Mr Key, repeated no doubt by arrangement by the ACT contribution from Rodney Hyde, from Peter Dunn's contribution from United Future and again by Gerry Brownlee, was the accusation that if you get a Labor-led government, we will be fiscally irresponsible, that Phil Goff will be borrow and spend, I think is the rhetoric they're using. Well, New Zealanders will not be fooled by that rhetoric.
Fooled or not, there's no shortage of rhetoric to be fooled by, with Parliament underway for another year and 8.5 hours remaining in the debate on the Prime Minister's statement, set to resume after the first question time of the year at 2 today. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.